This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably. Hello, 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 hello. Hot Breathverse. Welcome back to the Hot Breath Podcast, your weekly guide to comedy mastery. It is I, your host, comedian Joel Byers. And you know what time it is. Hot breath. Actually, you may not know what time it is, but it is 6:45 in the morning of the release of this Hot Breath episode. I promised you a Q&A episode. I got all tied up. Very busy week, very busy weekend, working all weekend. But as I always promise you, a Monday morning, 8 a.m. release of the Hot Breath Podcast for almost 4 years now, almost. We are rapidly approaching 180 Hot Breath episodes with interviews of comedy's greatest minds. And today we are going to address some of your greatest questions. I reached out in our Facebook group. We have a secret Facebook group, Hot Breath Comedy Network. If you just search that on Facebook, you can request to join and ask for your questions. What kind of Q&A would you like to hear? What kind of things would you like addressed? So in this episode, in this early morning, where I was out late last night as well, I've been featuring for Carl Payne all weekend here in Atlanta, and he ended up doing about 2 hours last night on his Sunday finale sold out show. So it was a late one, but always a good experience. So I'm hoping you listening to this, you get a lot of good feedback and insight that will help you. You know, I am a comedian out here on the grind, a little over 9 years into the game. By no means an expert, by no means trying to delegate and tell you what to do and what not to do. All I can do is share my personal experience based on what I've learned the hard way or based on what I've gathered and absorbed from other comedians that they've learned the hard way. So if this is helpful, let another comic know, hey, if you like podcasts, you're going to love Hot Breath Podcast. This is the comedy podcast. We're over on hotbreathpodcast.com. We have that website, of course, where you can go on there and read my blogs. Or also, we've got some listener blogs submitted coming up. So if you're interested in getting your blog onto the Hot Breath website, message me on social media at Joel Byers Comedy, or you can send a message from the actual Hot Breath website, or you can email me joelbyerscomedy@gmail.com. However you do it, let's just keep building this network person by person. So if you found this episode helpful, share it with one person. If you found the last two episodes helpful, share it with two people. Last week's episode with Lunel was an absolute blast. If you haven't heard that one yet, definitely go back. And we're going to dive into this Q&A, but there is some exciting news based on the scheduling of this podcast I want to share with you, but I do want to get to your questions first. So with that being said, let's just dive right in here. My favorite, actually I don't really have a favorite question, this is the first question. This one comes from Cannon D. Hardy, Cannon with a K. We out here. Ooh, this one got a lot of likes in the group too, so apparently this resonates with several others. He asked, how do you read your audience? So my personal system for reading an audience, in all honesty, is listening to the audience. Okay. Just keep in mind that I am doing this at like 7 in the morning, so after a late night. So maybe my brain isn't quite firing on all cylinders, but there are two different ways to read an audience. If you're talking about just while you're on stage, what I'll do is actually listen to the audience. see how they're reacting to what I'm saying and playing it in the moment that way. Because there's different kinds of responses. And a great way and a powerful way to listen to the audience, this is a skill that I learned separately. So just like with comedy, there's different layers to your skill sets. You learn how to write, and then you learn how to perform. And then a big part of reading your audience on stage is getting out of your own head. Starting out in comedy, you're just so worried about what the next word is, what the next word is, what am I going to say next? Oh no, why didn't they laugh loud enough? I wish they were laughing louder. It's like, oh no, they're laughing too much. Are they laughing at me or they're laughing with me? If you want to work on reading the audience while on stage, do material you know by heart. So you get out of your head and you can start to actually listen and connect with the audience. So work on reading the audience with older material. So you're out of your own head and you just can almost recite it without even thinking. So then you can be present and then read the audience and how they're reacting. And if you need to make adjustments on the fly, that all comes with time on stage as well, where you can then be like, oh, they didn't like the first joke in this bit. I better get out of this bit, jump into another one, and maybe I can bring it back later. That all comes with time. But really the number one way is to just listen to how they're responding. Now, reading an audience before a show or just during a show, this is something I recommend all comics do as well. Is like I'll go through like a mental checklist now when I do these, like whatever show it is. I'll look at, okay, who's in the audience? What is the age range? If other comics are up, what is the audience laughing at that those comics are doing? All that plays into not only the audience, but also think about the time of day, the location, the area you're in. It may be a Tuesday night at 11 in an Irish bar versus, you know, 8 p.m. Friday in a comedy club. All these factors will have an impact on who the audience is, what the makeup of the audience is, and why they're there. Are they there for the show, or were they just there to get drunk on a Tuesday and we just happened to throw a comedy show in the middle of it? So that's another great way to read the audience, is just before you go on stage. I always do this where I'll just walk in and be like, oh, okay, it's an open mic with primarily comedians, and oh, there's a few audience members there that I can be sure to kind of give my attention to while I'm on stage. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how I read my audience. If anything else pops in my head, I'll let you know. But that's really the main way, is just looking at the overall composition of the audience. Ooh, using big liberal arts words so early in the morning. Ah, drink a little water here. Let's move on to the next one. Great question, though. Great question. Denise Carter, how do you approach festivals? How much material do you need before you submit? In all reality, I'm not going to say there's a right or wrong approach to festivals. Festivals are a great networking piece. I would at least recommend you have 10 minutes, because when you submit to a festival, you're going to submit most likely, unless they say otherwise in their submission process, you're going to submit a 5-minute tape. So it's always a good approach to have at least a little bit more than 5 minutes. Now, some people are going to be like, oh, you shouldn't even do festivals. They're a waste of money. Or you shouldn't, don't do it till you have 20 or 30 minutes. I mean, listen, everyone has a different path in this. Everyone has a different approach. Festivals are a great way to network. Me personally, I have been a part of a few festivals, most recently the World Series of Comedy. I went up to Indianapolis. That is a great networking festival because it's all built around the winner of the festival getting consistent weekend work. I think they book out like, I interviewed the owner of it. It was like in the 30 or 40 weeks of work the winner of that festival gets. So that's a good one to check out. If you just want to meet other comics, when I went and did it in Indianapolis, I was there like one or two nights, and I met like 6 or 7 people talking about booking shows and things like that. So festivals are a very effective way to network, as long as you go there and network and be outgoing, which it took me years to do that in comedy. But I'm telling you right now, if you can make that a habit now, I've seen the benefit in just being a good coworker. I was always for a while in my own head and like, but I'm an artist and I'm a comedian. I just need to stay in my notebook. But that's not going to get you anywhere. So just be outgoing, be a good coworker and network. And festivals are a great way to do that. If you do want to check out World Series of Comedy, believe it or not, we actually have a little referral deal. If you go and submit to them, and in the application, you can tell them where you heard about the festival. Tell them Hot Breath. Hot Breath gets a little kickback on that of the submission. So if you want to support Hot Breath, that's a good way to not only support the podcast, but also your comedy career. But some people do a festival and they only have 5 minutes of material, and then they go to the festival and they do great. Some people have 20 minutes of material, they get into the festival and they don't do great. It's every single person here has a different approach and a different outcome. So in my opinion, I would recommend to at least have 10 minutes of material before you submit. But I'm not going to tell you not to submit if you want to. But every festival, you know, they do have their pros and cons. I would be selective with your festivals. I wouldn't just go do every single festival. Just be selective, because it does pay to submit. And, you know, there's festivals I've applied to several times that never got into. And early on, I took it personally, and then I realized it's not that big of a deal. So, yeah. Check out some festivals. Could be worth your time. But just go into the festival before you submit. Why are you submitting? And like, what is your reason for paying the submission fee? And why did you pick this festival? Really put thought into the festivals you decide to submit to. And what is your desired outcome? Have a game plan. All right. Denise also asked, when a comedy club says I'll pay you based on people you bring, what's the normal, per ass in seat? She said ass. I'm delusional this early in the morning. There's no fit system. There's no fit rate. Every comedy club is going to be different in terms of this, but I have heard as great of a deal as you get every person you bring in, you get what they paid. So if you bring in 10 people and they pay $10 to get in, you get $100. Yeah, you like that liberal arts math? You're welcome. I've heard it as well that you get half of whoever you bring in. So if you brought in 10 people and they pay $10, then you get $50. I don't think there's real an industry standard. It's all kind of based on the venue and based on the agreement you can come up with. But if they're saying we'll pay you to bring people out, you know, at least half, I would say, in my opinion, because what they're going to make half, but they're going to make a lot on like the food and drink, which is really, if you've heard any of the interviews I've done with club owners, I did one with Gary Abdo, who started Uptown and now hosts the Atlanta Comedy Theater, or owns it. He was like, a comedy club is basically a restaurant with a stage. So they make most of their money on food and beverage. So with that information at your disposal, you could negotiate and be like, well, how about I just get whoever I bring in, I just get their cover charge, and then you can have all their food and drink. But there's no industry standard, but I would recommend at least getting half, or I don't know if the show's worth it per se, because you want to be selective when what shows that you're like really trying to bring people out to. Because, you know, the longer you do comedy, the less frequent your friends will start to come out. They're like, oh, you're still doing that? Cool. Yeah, we'll be there in 10 years when you're on Netflix. You know, that's everyone, every comedian goes through that. So be selective and make sure it's a show worth bringing people out to. Oh, Denise, a third question here. Hey, now. Should you have a manager to negotiate for you? One of my favorite quotes from Hot Breath Podcast is Tamara Goins, the head of innovative comedy out in L.A., represent people like DC Young Fly, Lunell, who was on the podcast last week, just some of the top comics in the game. As she said, you need a manager when you have something to manage. So I wouldn't even worry about a manager or an agent until it's like, okay, I don't have time to do any of this. Because a common theme I've found in all the interviews I've done, most of everyone's big opportunities have come from their network, have come from other comedians. So don't get caught up on, man, I'd be further along if I had a manager. Nah, just to keep it a bean, yeah, I mean, focus on getting funny first. Just get undeniably funny and then worry about, oh, what should my manager be? Or, what's my next step here? Step number one in this game is to get funny. So then you have something to manage. Then you have a product to sell that you could work with someone else to start pushing you out there in the streets. But you got to have a good product first, because you may get that opportunity, but you want to make sure you get the rebook. You want to make sure you get that opportunity again. That's where the sustaining business comes in. You can book that big gig once, but if it doesn't go well, that big gig is gone. So just be mindful of that when you're thinking about wanting representation or you need help with the next thing. Just get funny first and all else will really take care of itself. And she also asked, when visiting a new city, the best way to find an open mic. That would really be badslava.com is a whole open mic resource. And you can just Google that city, and they're most likely going to have a Facebook page that's like, hey, I'm coming to your city, or they're going to have a comedy page. You can then post that you're coming into town from so-and-so, you'd love some stage time. I know in Atlanta, there's a Facebook group that's like, hey, I'm coming to Atlanta, where you can, bookers are in that Facebook group, and you can just post, hey, here's a clip of me, I'm going to be in town these dates, anybody with availability, let me know. Several cities have that Facebook page. All right. Moving right along. Alan Michael Harbor, how to use the mic as part of your stand-up, more than just holding. I'm not quite sure. How to use the mic as part of your stand-up. I mean, I've heard people, you know, use it as a phone. I don't know. He kind of clarifies. He said, some comics use the mic stand for act-outs and props. I want tips on the best way to do that. In all honesty, I would say the best way to do that is just whatever comes organically. I wouldn't overthink like, oh, I should use the mic stand for this, or I should use the mic. If it organically inspires you to use it, then go with it. But I wouldn't force it to where you're like, hey, I have this mic stand, I should use it as like a metal detector or a javelin or a joust. You know, if it comes naturally to whatever joke you're doing, then do it. But I would say start with the joke first. I wouldn't say start with the mic stand and try to create a joke. I would say start with material that's true and personal to you. And then if that involves the mic and the mic stand, then go ahead. I don't really have anything that involves them specifically for like an act out or a prop. But yeah, I wish I could answer that. I hope that answers your question, Alan Michael Harbor. It's just kind of what happens naturally. Because if anything you do on stage, if it's forced, the audience can sniff it out. And the audience can tell it's forced and not genuine. And that's where you break the connection with the audience. And at the end of the day, comedy is connection. So however you can connect to the audience, just go with that. don't overthink, oh, I should use everything I have up here. I have a stool. Why don't I use it? It's just like we said, everyone's path is different. Everyone's stand-up is different. We all have different ways of doing different things on stage. It's just make sure it's something that's true and authentic to you, and it'll work out. And don't get caught up in what other comics are doing. Yeah, I mean, don't overthink that, oh, I should be using a mic stand because other comics are, or I should be humping the stool because other comics are. It's just be you. And now I know it is a process as well, quote, being you on stage. It's, you know, I've interviewed comics 15 years in and they're like, I think I'm just now becoming myself on stage. Like, it's a process for everyone, but just, and everything you create in this game, put it through the filter of like, is this authentically me? I'm at a point in my mindset with comedy is like, if I'm working out a joke, I ask myself, could anybody do this joke? Is this uniquely to me and part of my own unique sense of humor? Or is this a joke that you could put in XYZ comics and we could all get laughs just based on the structure of the writing? That has been extremely valuable. So definitely at any level, maybe start putting your material through that filter. As you're writing material, be like, is this truly uniquely mine, or could someone else recite these words and get a laugh? Because one of my favorite quotes, nobody can steal you. Boom. Yeah. Dropping bombs on them. Yeah, I mean. All right. Moving on, just a few more here. I appreciate y'all submitting these as well. Seriously. I love doing this. I want to do more of these. I want to connect with you more. I want to learn from you more and where you're at. So a lot of you reach out to me on social media and I love it. And I love connecting. And I love learning from where you are and how we can help each other. And it's just, it's an exciting time to be a member of the Hot Breathiverse. All right. So here's a good one from Zachary Ryan. What are some tips to overcoming crippling stage fright and becoming comfortable on stage? And he also asks, realistically, how old is too old to start performing stand-up? To answer the second one first, you're never too old. Rodney Dangerfield is a prime example of someone who started young, quit, and restarted late in life and ended up killing it. So there's actually in the Facebook group, Beth Bloomfield, hot sister in Al Chander, said she posted a link of 8 comedy late bloomers just showing that, yeah, it's never too old to start stand-up. So Zachary looks young in this picture, too. So, Zachary, you're all right. Don't worry. You're not old. None of us are old. We're young at heart if we're comics. We're all just grown kids. We're just tall kids. But what are some tips for overcoming stage fright and becoming comfortable on stage? What's helped me the most personally is repetition on stage. Like, the more I get on stage, the more comfortable I get on stage. A big thing that'll help you is preparation. So the more prepared you are for the set, the more relaxed you'll be because it's less things to worry about. Because you're already worried. You're like, oh no, I'm up next, or I'm up in 2. And then the anxiety starts to build. And then you're like, oh, I don't know about these jokes. And then you're like, but I don't know about this audience. And you say, I've never been here before. It's a new environment. I don't know what to expect. And you can start to let that doubt and just overall just negative thoughts kind of creep in. But if you're prepared, that's going to be one less thing to worry about. Now, prepared means you have your set written out ahead of time. You rehearsed it before the show, on the way to the show. You're ready. You're at the show early. You're not just showing up right at the last minute and then you're having to scramble to find the host and you're worried if you still have your spot. It's like being prepared on all fronts. So have your material prepared, be there early, make sure you're all set up for success. And things I've heard other comics do with stage fright is they like breathe before they go on stage. They'll do just like a slow breathing exercise. Ah. That's always a good one. Just before you go on stage, just go, and then all will be hot. What if that became a thing? What if it just became like a well-known comedy technique that before you go on stage, you go, and you're relaxed? Let me know if you're listening to this. Let me know if you get nervous. Let me know if you try that and how it works out. But comedians I've interviewed have said, yeah, they'll breathe before they'll go on stage, or they'll focus on positives going before they go on stage. So they'll focus on like what is good about the moment and not the hypothetical what ifs that cripple us. So it's like, hey, I get to do stand-up tonight. Hey, there's a good audience here. Or hey, I'm excited to try this new joke. Or I'm so lucky to be able to do stand-up. So many people aren't able to do this. Like, they're focusing on the positive and actually what is real. A lot of stage fright and anxiety can come from the unknown. So focus on what is known. Focus on the positive knowns. And I think that'll really help to shift your mindset. And at first, at first it's going to be rough because it's a new habit, a new mindset you're starting to mold. But the more you do it, the easier it'll become, and then it'll just become second nature. But it is a habit that you must be proactive about. It's not just going to happen magically and accidentally. You're like, oh, never mind, I don't have those worries anymore. It's a step-by-step process. Just like stand-up, just like anything worth doing, it's a process. So start there, maybe. Just if you're feeling stage fright, maybe be like, all right, well, let's focus on the positive here of this moment. I get to go on stage. That's so exciting. I've always wanted to do this. And I get to pursue my dreams. And I get to entertain this audience. And try that. Let me know how it works out. Because I don't really hate that answer. I'm kind of proud of that answer as I'm drinking my water here. Fontas water, if you will, which we do have available on the Hot Breath website if you're interested in getting your own Hot Breath water. All right. And the final question. This is coming all the way from Arizona. Okay. Well, it's a two-parter. David asks, Hot Brethren and Sistren, all the way from Arizona, is it a good idea to drink coffee or some kind of energy drink before doing comedy? In my personal opinion, my personal experience, whenever I drink caffeine, it throws off my timing. Just like drinking or any other thing. Like, I need to be sober when I perform for a few reasons. One, if I do any, like, literally even something like as simple as like coffee and caffeine, can throw off my timing. It can also increase my anxiety, like we talked about in the previous question. And it just makes me feel more rushed on stage. And I'm not in my own rhythm. Everything's just has a little bit of an edge and is a little rushed. So personally, I don't like to drink anything before I go on stage, but some people do. You know, I'm in the mindset, like, I've done shows at breweries and I've had a drink or two before I go up. And it may go well, but then I'm like, oh, it's because you were drinking, though. It wasn't because you're authentically funny just as your sober self. And then I got in my head about that. So I never, like, drink before I go on. And I don't really like to drink caffeine or anything before I go on just because it throws off my timing. But everyone's different, you know. If you're a coffeeholic, like 70% of America, maybe it is a good idea to spike the brain before you go up there. But do keep in mind, Hot Brethren and Sistren, if you start to rely on a substance before you go on stage, if early on you find yourself, I need a beer before I go on, and then it turns into two beers and three beers, it's like, it's a slippery slope because you have to perform comedy a lot. And if you have to drink something before every single show, one, that's super expensive, and it adds up just health-wise. And I've seen some people fall off because they ended up drinking too much because they created that habit. So just be mindful of what you're doing before your shows. And I'm not going to tell you not to drink or what's a good idea or what not. I can just tell you based on my personal experience, I don't like to. It throws off my timing. But you do you. Good question, though, here to end on. I've got to say, as we're winding this down, thank you so much for all the questions you submitted. This is a good one to close it out on. How to balance comedy and life. I have a wife, two daughters. Helping kids with homework. He works a lot of overtime as well. Okay, well, that sounds like a handful. That sounds like a handful, David. I can really only speak to my personal experience and how I've balanced comedy in my life. You have more going on in your life, but I can tell you what works for me, and maybe you can find a middle ground. But I don't have kids. I have a dog and a wife, and then me. So I guess I kind of do have a kid if you count me. But what I found useful is I'll just balance out the week in terms of, if I'm not booked on the weekend, I'll do open mics during the week. If I am booked on the weekend, I'll take my foot off the gas and just save my stage time for the weekend. Now, starting out, I lived on stage, or I lived in the comedy club. If I wasn't on a stage performing, I was at a club watching. Lou Nell said in this past episode last week that one of the biggest mistakes comics are making is they aren't students of the craft. They aren't going to shows. They aren't watching. They aren't studying. And that, I agree. Like, that is a very valuable piece, especially starting out. I'm 9 years in. This is my job now. So I treat it a little differently in terms of, okay, you know, I have this job I need to balance with my life, with my wife, and make sure I'm spending proper time with each. But starting out, it was all comedy all the time. And before my wife moved down to Atlanta, I told her on the phone, I was like, just so you know, this is my life. I'm performing every single night of the week. I'm going to be gone a lot. And if you're cool with that, then let's be cool together. And it ended up working out. To now, when she first moved down and everything, I was gone pretty much every night. It has since evolved, as this has become my job, and I've started getting booked more. I am a little more selective and more mindful of the balance aspect, to where I do want to make sure I'm giving proper time. So maybe a 50-50. It's really up to you. I can't tell you, you know, how. I don't know, because kids, I don't even understand. That brings up a whole new can of worms when you're trying to balance all that. I can't even imagine that juggling act. But think of comedy this way as well. Even if you're not out, what are you doing to help your comedy? So just because I'm home and I'm not out doing a stand-up show, that doesn't mean I'm not working on something towards comedy. That doesn't mean I'm not designing a new workshop or shooting a new online class or studying. So, like, my wife and I, she loves John Mulaney. We've watched John Mulaney together, and also Gad, the French comic. If you haven't seen his stuff on Netflix, he's incredible. Incredible. So what are you doing to help your comedy? Even if you aren't out doing it, there are still ways to balance your comedy and life where you can integrate it into your life more. So think about that as well. What are you doing when you're not performing? Okay, I didn't go to an open mic, but what did I do to help my comedy? Did I write? Did I read? I just interviewed Ian Bagg, who will be released in a couple weeks. And he said he doesn't necessarily write every day, but he always absorbs new information every day. So he's always making sure his mind is learning new things, and he's always absorbing new information that's going to help inform his comedy. So, I said all that to say, there's different ways to balance it, whether it is balancing the home life versus the stage life, or even what are you doing at home to help your comedy. There's different ways. I mean, the stage is 100% the most important thing, and that's the number one advice I've received and that I give to comics, is to live on stage, period. So that being said, if you can't get on stage, what can you do to help your comedy? And you could just be just for 5 minutes. You just read an article, or like, it can be minimal because it adds up in the end. These incremental additions will add up to a big difference, but it's just being mindful of it. So I don't want you to post on here in 2 weeks another Q&A episode and David's like, Joel, you said gotta live on stage, so I'm living under a bridge without a family, but I'm living on stage like you said. It's like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Just be mindful of how you can work on comedy even if you aren't on stage, and I think that's going to help tremendously. Alright? Man, this was fun. I think Hot Breathiverse, this is just the delight of my life, getting to do this Hot Breath and hearing all the great feedback you have and all the new comics that reach out to me saying, I heard about this from so-and-so and I love the podcast. Thanks, keep up the great work. So if you found this one helpful, if you have found Hot Breath helpful, if you are on the way to an open mic and you're listening to a podcast, or you had a triumphant failure like we all do, and then Hot Breath was there for you, simply share this with other comics. That's what we're trying to do here, is just build a comedy community. So telling other comics about it is a great way to spread the Hot Breathiverse. Of course, leaving an iTunes review makes a big, big difference in that iTunes algorithm. The more reviews we can get, the higher we'll be in the ranks, the more people will find the podcast, and the more powerful we can grow together. HotBreathPodcast.com is going to be the hub where we have a blog, we have merch, we have ways you can support the podcast and pick up things like Hot Breath water and things like that. Oh man, this was an early one, y'all. Woke up early to do this. So I appreciate you understanding that comedy is a grind. Podcasting is a grind. For those of you who have not tried to do a podcast, and it seems like everyone's trying, if you haven't tried, I would say give it a shot just to understand the amount of work that goes into this. On my website, joelbyerscomedy.com, I'll link it in the show notes as well. I'm starting a blog. I wrote two blog articles last week. One about hosting, how to host a show, and then like a comedy show, and then also about podcasting and how you want to start to make sure you build up a successful and sustaining production. Because it's a lot of work. I have calculated spending up to 15 hours on a single episode of Hot Breath. So it's a labor of love for sure. We are by no means making any money doing this right now. It's all for the culture. It's all for the love of the game. So if you want to show that support, you can go to Hot Breath Podcast, show some support, and I'll shout you out on here. Or, support it by sharing it with other comics at open mics and such. So the breaking news I have, I want to do this Q&A to directly talk to you and connect with you and just let you know, when it comes to consistency with this podcast, I'm up this early because I want to make sure it's reliable and that you do get this your Monday 8 a.m. But also that the next 2 weeks we will be off. I'm going to be out of town. I'm not even going to really have access to the internet. So for the next 2 weeks, the Hot Breath will be off. But that doesn't mean you can't still share episodes. That doesn't mean most of you listening have not heard the over 170 other Hot Breath episodes. So this is a great opportunity for you to check out the catalog. What's great about the website is there's a search bar. So you can literally go to the website, search what topic you're looking for, and it'll pop up episodes. So if you about writing or booking a show or social media, just go on the website, search it, and you'll be amazed. So that's really it. We're going to be off the next 2 weeks. It's not because I don't love you. It's just because, hey, remember that hole we were talking about, balancing comedy and life? This is a moment where the life tips the scale. But we will be back. I've got some in the chamber. I've got several episodes coming up that I'm very, very excited about as we're building consistently every week. There are new listeners, and it's thanks to you sharing. And if you haven't shared with the comic, and you know you should, make this the week you do it. All right. And as you're listening to this, a great way to share it, screenshot you listening to this or do a screen record and then post that to your social media, to your Facebook, to your Instagram stories. Spread the word, peeps, because we're only going up from here. So I appreciate all your support and time. And that's it. I'm going to get on with this day. I have a dentist appointment today because I'm a grown-up, and that's what happens when your wife has benefits and you get free cleanings. So I'm going to go do that. I appreciate you so much. You know, got to get cleaning, get this hot breath cleaned off. So if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. I will still be engaging while I'm off over these next 2 weeks. So I still would love to hear from you, but that's the podcast for the next 2 weeks is this Q&A. I just want to connect with you and talk to you directly. So thank you so much for your time and commitment to the craft of comedy. Thank you to my wife, of course, for the theme song. And until next Monday in 2 weeks. Also, if you're looking to start your own podcast, definitely check out that article linked in the show notes because it has a link. I recorded an online podcasting course to kind of give you the cliff notes on how to start. Because if you Google how to start a podcast, it's like 608 million results pop up. So been doing this like 4 years. I created just a shortcut to help you get yours off the ground faster, help you learn from things I learned the hard way, but check it out. We'll be doing workshops here in Atlanta as well if you're in the area. But all that being said, until next Monday in 2 weeks, right here on Hot Breath. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.